Welcome to It's a Grand Life. Did you know that in the United States alone, 2.4 million kids are being raised by their grandparents or other family members other than mom or dad? 2.4 million. It's a Grand Life is a podcast for those grandparents and kinship caregivers who are committed to making a difference for those kids. Grand families are in every neighborhood, every city, tribe, and territory nationwide. If this is you or someone you love, this podcast is for you. Our goal is to offer hope and resources to help you. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us wherever you get your audio podcasts and leave a review. Every new subscriber and review helps us reach others that need assistance. Welcome to another episode of It's a Grand Life. Hello, my name is Craig Nash. We'd like to welcome you to another It's a Grand Life. And you are going to be so blessed today. We've got our friend Chris Magstadt back with us from North Dakota, and she's going to talk about her role, not only as running a grand family, but being an advocate for the grand families and kinship caregivers in North Dakota. And you will learn what that's been like for her. She didn't start out this way, but her whole role of becoming a grand family and a kinship caregiver for her grandkids has really sparked a new side in her life and a new focus on how to help others that are wrestling with all the bureaucracy and everything else that goes along with running a grand family. So Chris, welcome again to It's a Grand Life. And love to hear about your new journey on how you've gone above and beyond being the grandma turned mom again, and now being an advocate for grand families in North Dakota. What has that been like?
Well, thank you, Craig, for having me. It's been a journey, like I've said to you before. And I think that it took all of that journey for me to be ready to be an advocate, for me to be ready to share my voice, to share our story, because some of it's really private. And so I think that it's been a journey. It took me a few years.
And So did you learn how to reframe your situation with your grandkids in a way that can be make you more comfortable with the situation? Or what did you have to learn in this process of being an advocate for the grand families in North Dakota?
I think that what happened is at some point in time, I decided that the truth is the truth. And so sharing my story, whether some things were painful or not, was important because other people are going through that as well. In fact, many people are going through it worse than we are. And so I just decided that my story is my story. Our story is our story. And I'm going to share it so that I can help other people.
So and that's an adjustment, you know, because we are private people and we don't necessarily want everybody in our stuff. And, you know, there are some folks at the school bus that they may judge you because of the situation you're in. And and we had nothing to do with, having the kids come and stay with us and raising them. We just tried to love them like any grandparents would. In fact, if you and I were telling the truth, we missed the days of being grandparents. Because now we're parents, right, Chris?
Right.
And you said last time, now I've got to discipline them. That's not fun. I'd rather give them candy and send them home.
Absolutely.
But what about the advocacy? I know you're involved with Generations United, and you are a grand voice out of North Dakota. How did you begin advocating for your fellow colleagues in your state? I mean, how did you know what to present, and how did you know who to reach out to?
Actually, I think that it was a matter of being resourceful and asking people and talking to other grand families, which in North Dakota were really conservative, extremely conservative and extremely private. And so getting a group together in North Dakota has been really difficult. So it's kind of scattered. Generations United has helped me a lot, and I was just darn lucky to get involved. And they didn't have a representative from North Dakota. So someone said, well, try Chris. And it was like, okay, sure. What am I getting into? But it's been the best. And they've included me in things like this podcast and in writing and doing other things. And I've learned a lot that way. One of the things that I feel very strongly about is the difference between benefits that foster care families turn adoption to private families turn adoption. And one of those is Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And that's become one of my focuses. And what happens is while you have guardianship, you have Medicaid and you have all the other programs that are there. Kevin and I did not use those. We didn't need them. And so, but the Medicaid healthcare insurance is so expensive. So what we've done, Kevin and I have actually met with our national senators and representative. Wow. And we've met with a couple of our state legislators. And we continue to talk to them about the fact that, you know, you need to do something for these people. You know, you continue, if you take them from foster care and they adopt, they get a stipend, they get Medicaid, they get all of these other things, even free college in North Dakota, and we lose everything.
Right.
Just because we did the right thing. And to make that point, we saved CPS and the foster system a lot of money and a lot of caseload. And actually, if you talk to Generations United, every year the taxpayers save $4 billion by having grand families or kinship care and not going to foster system.
I don't believe in the state of Michigan that folks get a free college education if they're part of the foster care system. But how much is a college education in North Dakota? What is that, 100,000? I mean, that's a lot. And and just being part of an adopted situation versus a foster care situation. Has your interacting with the senators and the state senators and the folks on the federal level as well, has that helped at all? If things started to move and open up a little bit in North Dakota?
They have. I think there's an awareness now, more of an awareness than there was. We do have a senator that he has actually adopted as well.
Oh.
And so he understands the situation. It wasn't a grandchild, but it was a child that his son had taken in when the mother passed away.
Okay.
So he understands that. And so he's been really beneficial. But, you know, there's so much going on in Washington that you got to keep talking about it. The same in the state. You got to keep talking about it. The state can't do anything without the federal. And so you have to, that's a tricky deal.
So it's just a matter of getting their attention, because they're dealing with issues all the time. And imagine if you're a senator and you have all the emails you'd get from all the advocates for everything. And of course, this is our main issue. We got to take care of these kids. And I'm just very concerned, like you, for folks that don't have the resources for these grandkids that if they're coming and can't even imagine paying for college. They went through that with their kids already. And now we're at this again. And then you have the issue of your child who's got a substance abuse or behavioral health issue, like in our situation. That's still in the back of your mind. But, you know, we've got I had one grandmom from a grand family explain to me, you know, you can only save one. Your child made the decisions they made, but these little grands, someone's got to be the advocate for them. And that's what you're doing, and that's what we're doing here. So so you found some receptivity with the senator who did adopt someone, and that was that individual able to refer you to other folks that perhaps you could chat with and help keep the cause moving forward?
He did. We talked a lot about it, and he said he would take it forward, and that also that he would, we should talk to our state legislators as well. So he was very, very helpful.
That's great. And this is, now do you have a call frequency with him? I mean, are you following up once a quarter or once every couple months, or, you know, to keep your causes first and foremost in his mind? And you do that?
Mm-hmm. We do. We talk to him about every 6 months. And the other thing is we know them personally.
Okay.
And so that has been really helpful for us because we're not making a telephone call. We're not making an email. We're visiting with them in their office. And personally, you know, that makes a big difference. So they see us at events. And so they're constantly reminded.
Oh, that's absolutely terrific. So we just want to encourage our listeners. You got to make friends with your senator.
You do. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you can get a personal visit, I just think that's key. I do.
Have you ever gone to Washington, Chris, to meet with your senators or anything like that? Or you just do everything at a local level?
I just do everything at a local level.
Now, if you're like me, and, you know, your best friend is not your state senator, and you don't have a relationship with him at all, would you call the state capitol and just try and get a face-to-face meeting with them? Is that how you'd recommend getting going?
They have offices of their own, and so you can call their offices. They're not at the state capitol at all, and so you would just call their local office, and that's listed on their websites.
Okay, And so you talk to the state representatives and the folks that are going to Washington, the state senators,
yes,
house folks, and try and meet with all of them.
Yes.
Now, you know, in this country, Chris Meggs, that we are very politically divided, right? We've
yes.
got the red states, we've got the blue states, and that's most unfortunate. But in the area of advocating for kids, are you seeing commonality there? Are you seeing common ground? Are they, or do they pull out their partisan flag and beat you up with it? Anything like that?
No, I don't think they do. Kids are a subject where I think they all come together. I just think that they believe in making it right for our kids in the United States. And so I do think that they all come together and pay attention.
That is just a key point right there. So we have a neutral cause that is in this day and age is a miracle, where you can talk to the Democratic folks, you can talk to the Republican folks, and it's all about kids. If you don't see a pulse with them when you're presenting that case, you know you've got a real stickler.
But I agree.
If they could get behind it, it'd be another thing we could build on to get to some unity in our country and get folks pulling in the same direction. So you would recommend setting an appointment with your representatives within their local office. Maybe not. You don't have to go to Washington to connect with them, or you don't have to go to your state capital, and then you visit them at least twice a year, once every 6 months.
We probably see them more often than that. But yeah, we visit with them in their office once every 6 months.
And if you, let's say you get some critical data, like the wonderful folks at Generations United put out these great publications on any new issues that are coming out. Do you send them that information when you get it?
I do.
So you might say, Representative Jones, I just got this from Generations United. This is absolutely terrific. On the opioid settlement issue, for example, you know, something like that, because the materials coming out of GU are terrific. And
they are.
I don't know how many folks they've got in the background crunching those numbers, but it's amazing. And it's by state. So they do just a terrific job with that. So is there anything that you would do differently as far as your approach to advocacy for the Grand families in North Dakota?
I think that one of the things that I would do is work even harder at getting Grand families together in North Dakota. But you really got to break that barrier of that conservative barrier, that private barrier that they have. And that's been really difficult. So I work really hard to find people like me. And that's just not an easy task because they don't really talk about it. So if I could do that, I would. But what I think is really important is as you meet an individual that is dealing with something like that, that you talk to them, that you share experiences with them, that you know, a lot of people don't know, and I don't mean this to sound wrong, but a lot of people don't know how much I know because I've really gotten involved in it and have been through a lot, and they have too. but they just don't know what to do. And we have health issues with our kids. We have ADHD. And so when they talk about that, I can talk about that. And I can advocate that they go to Generations United and look at the tip sheets. And I can tell them the difference between foster care and not going through foster care. And so I've talked to a lot of people individually, and I think that's really helped. The other thing that I think is great for all grandparents to do is to get on, this is going to sound odd, but to get on Facebook and join some of the grandparents, grandparents raising grandkids, different groups. Some groups are better than others, but what I found is that when they ask a question, normally I can answer it, you know, and I can refer them to Generations United, or I can say, you know, you might want to check with your senators about this, or I can say something to them. And it's not just North Dakota. Right. That's across the United States. So that's been really rewarding, but it's also been eye-opening because I see people that have it so much worse than we do. You know, that their kids are living on the street, or they died of an overdose, or they're in prison. So they're, you know, they're in a much tougher situation. So I think advocating goes into more than just in my state. It goes into people everywhere.
Are you aware of a database of grand families or kinship caregivers in your state or any of the other states? I mean, you're saying you're having a challenge connecting with grand families in North Dakota, and I totally get that. Is there if they have data where all the grand families are listed somewhere, is that part of the challenge?
That's part of the challenge. Kinship North Dakota, which is a part of the kinship care, the money that was sent to the states. Okay. I believe they have a list of some of them, but it's confidential, and so they don't necessarily share it. Now, if I wanted to get a message out, we've talked about this, and maybe we could send something out to them from their office, but then the higher ups don't really want to do that. So that's where my struggle is.
Yeah, again, you're just trying to help. And you, unfortunately, you do have a ton of information because you've been through it all. And mm-hmm. you're really just trying to save them some steps and some heartburn by just helping them get pointed in the right direction. So I hope all of our friends in North Dakota will reach out to you and just kind of pick your brain as far as what's the best way to navigate the systems in your area. And because I know that's where your heart is, just trying to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So with in the few minutes that we have left, if you were talking to a new colleague in the state of North Dakota that had just recently taken in their grandkids and they're going to start to raise them, what would you want them to know about how to navigate the North Dakota system and to maximize the care for their young ones?
I think one of the most important things is deciding whether to be private or deciding whether to go through CPS or the foster care system. So I would want them to know the benefits of each, the benefits and detriments of each. And I think that preparing them for some of the controversy that may come between them and the parents or them and the grandparents. You know, you think about a controversy between the parents, but you don't think about the grandparents.
Right.
So I think that's critical that they understand that journey. I think they need to know how much it costs. I think they need to know what guardianship is and how to get that. I think they need to know about the legal expenses that come along with being a grand family or a grandparent raising grandkids. I just think that sitting down and having a great conversation about all their questions, whatever they're thinking about, and then telling my story. And I think that's really beneficial. I think that's one-on-one is always better than a big group.
Right. When we sit down face to face with folks, we realize we all want the same things. You know, mm-hmm. we just want what's best for the kids, and we want good schools. You know, we want them to have a good education. We want them to follow their dreams and what have you. And regardless of their situation, they're just I love what you're doing, Chris, and you're just absolutely a blessing to get to know. And I could see you having little coffee clatches all over the state of North Dakota with folks just coming out to hear your story and handing them a piece of paper that says this is the distinction between the foster care program and the adoption process. It's your decision, but you got to know the facts. And we just salute the work you're doing there. And it's just been so great to have you on our program here at The Grand Life. And I hope you'll come on again. Anytime there's an issue that you want to share regarding North Dakota, we'd love to have you. And if we can help you connect with your peers and colleagues in North Dakota, boy, that would be absolutely our pleasure.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for having me again, Greg.
All right, Chris, it's my pleasure. Our guest today has been Chris Magstadt from North Dakota. And if you missed last week's program, you need to go back and hear that and hear her story, how she's been an advocate for her grandkids. And you'll be encouraged and you'll be blessed if you can get to know a little bit about this outstanding lady and her husband in North Dakota. We look forward to seeing you next time on It's a Grand Life. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today for It's a Grand Life. It's a Grand Life provides vital content, regulatory updates, and subject matter experts that are committed to supporting the 2.4 million kids and their caregivers from every neighborhood, every city, every tribe and territory nationwide. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review. Every new subscriber and review helps us reach others that need assistance. As caregivers, we are united in purpose. We are driven by hope while providing strength for today and hope for tomorrow. We are truly making a difference in while living the grand life. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, please reach out to us. But we'll see you next time for another It's a Grand Life. Thank you for joining us.